chapter of John's Gospel. I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. Listen for the Word of God. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher.
Continuing on with our scripture reading this morning, hear now the word of God as it comes to us from the first book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept for you in heaven. You who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the end time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable was tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and in glory and in honor to Jesus Christ our Lord. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Well, last week, Bill mentioned how some tell jokes during Eastertide to represent the joy of the season. I thought that was a good idea, so I'd like to open with a joke. Holy Week was approaching, and the pastor was so busy, he stopped by the barber shop without an appointment. "The barber isn't in right now," said his wife, "and I don't cut hair, but I can give you a shave." "Well, sure," the pastor thought, "I can always use a good shave." And so sure enough, the barber's wife did an excellent job of shaving him. The next day, the pastor, to his delight, didn't need to shave. His face was smooth. And the next day after that, there was still no stubble. And this went on and on and on until finally, after Easter, when the pastor made an appointment with the barber for his long-awaited haircut, he went in there and he told the barber, "I had the most amazing shave here. My face is still smoother than ever." "Oh yeah," the barber said. "That's the work of my wife Grace. And you know, once you've been shaved by Grace, you're shaved forever." All right. Welcome from Michigan. They're probably not that corny on the other side of the lake, but... But I have a question. I have a riddle for you too, Kent. What do you get when you cross the Easter Bunny with a stressed out pastor during Eastertide? An Easter basket case. Sorry. Well, you know something else that's funny? Today's key verse on this second Sunday of Eastertide. Over there on that first banner. "Why are you weeping?" Now that's funny. I mean, hello, Captain Obvious. Mary had just seen the man she loved executed. And then, out of respect and love and honor, she went to the tomb to put burial spices on him, and to add insult to injury, the tomb was empty. Someone must have stolen his body. And she's asked, "Why are you weeping?" Well, duh, what else would she do? And I know, we're supposed to think that the joke is on Mary and she's just too clueless to get it. But you know what? I don't think she's clueless. I think she's human, like you and like me. And besides, I don't know about you, but there are times when I can't see Jesus, even if he's standing right beside me. And I find that's especially true when my hope has been crushed, like Mary's hope was crushed, or like the people in Fairdale, Rochelle, and Belvedere this week. Hope. Now that's a funny thing. People have different ideas and concepts of hope. For some, hope is almost a burden. If you hope, you will be disappointed. So take the easy way out. No hope, no disappointment, and maybe no weeping. But where's the life in that? Where's the humanity in that? And sometimes what looks like hope is really denial. If things aren't as we hope they'll be, then we just deny reality. Now, I personally don't want to pick on denial too much. This week I was removing all my warm weather clothes from those plastic storage containers where they were kept all winter, and I was so hopeful that I'd be wearing those clothes, those short sleeves, sooner rather than later. And sure enough, the weather is warmed and is lovely. But you know what? Those plastic storage containers shrunk all my clothes. I know. Can you believe it? Okay, so maybe denial is a place we visit a little more often than we care to admit, or at least I do. So fear of hope and denial, though both are very convenient, are also very, very different than the Easter hope we are given through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our Bible passage from Peter this morning says we have been given a living hope, not stagnant, not past, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have been given an inheritance that can't be taken away by fighting siblings or anything, because it is indestructible, it is whole, it is complete, and it will never fade. Now, these words are from Peter's first letter to the early church. And remember Peter? Just a little over a week ago, we criticized him for denying Jesus 3 times on the night of Jesus' resurrection. Ha, when the going gets tough, Peter went into denial. See, I'm not the only one. But by this time this letter was written, Peter was not only preaching, but he was living the Easter hope. In fact, these words were written not long before his own martyrdom. These words aren't empty rhetoric. They are words of someone about to stake his very life on Easter hope, on the eternal promise of resurrection. Now, Andy, and I know Lindsay's out there with Henry, you have embarked on this great adventure called parenthood. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on, you're in for a ride. And there are lots of books and blogs out there that will extol the very best parenting tools, but I think one of the best things you can do for Henry, and all of us can do for any child, is to hope. To model hope, to share hope, and to live in hope. Our son turned 23 this week, and he's been musical since he was a little tiny guy, and he turned out to be a pretty good percussionist. Well, we couldn't afford all those percussive instruments, so gradually, one by one, one at Christmas, one at birthday, and so on, we built up a set, a cymbal here, a snare drum there, another cymbal, a pedal here. So he, by high school, he had a very good set. And he was also, in high school, playing a lot of different venues and under different conductors. So when it came time to choose a college, of course, his choice was based on the percussion program. But at his very last college audition, he requested to audition for the vocal department as well. And we said, okay, why? And he said, well, no one can take my voice from me. Okay. And we didn't understand it, but we said, okay. And the percussion programs that he turned down didn't understand it. But A, it was his reasoning. And lo and behold, he went into voice. Fast forward almost 5 years. This Christmas, not just about 23, and I don't know how it came up, but my son admitted to us that his senior year in high school, much of his percussion equipment was stolen from backstage of a concert. And he didn't have the heart to tell us. We had worked so hard for it. So stealing his equipment hurt him so badly that he stopped studying percussion. So Andy, Lindsay, and all of us, life brings ups and downs. Life brings us trials, just like the Bible says it would. But regardless of what happens, please don't let anyone ever, ever steal your hope, your Easter hope, because your hope, your Easter hope, is your child's hope, and our Easter hope is the world's hope. The Archbishop of Iraq this Easter was sharing the plight of Christians in his part of the world, where, as you can see, ISIS is destroying churches. In a single night, 13 Christian towns were seized by ISIS, and in one case, ISIS wiped out a community whose unbroken Christian presence has been there since the first century, probably around the time our gospel readings this morning were written. When ISIS arrived, they daubed the doorposts of Christians with the letter N for Nazarene, or Arabic, this means Christian. This, as you might realize, is eerily reminiscent of Jewish persecution in Nazi Germany. Over 125,000 in Iraq recently, over 125,000 Christians have been forced to flee from their homes. The Archbishop tells the story of Gazella and Victoria, two 80-year-old Christian women who were too frail to leave when ISIS stormed their village. Well, the terrorists frog-marched them to the hilltop, to a nearby hilltop, and gave them an ultimatum: either be killed or convert. But the terrorists promised if they convert, they will have paradise. And Gazella, one of the two women, responded, "My vision of paradise is not yours. My vision is about love, forgiveness, peace, mercy, and hope. If you want to kill me for what I believe, I am willing to die." And again we are asked, why are you weeping? Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious? It is no joke. There are so many forces trying to destroy the power of the Easter hope, but the eternal and profound power of the resurrection, that promise of the resurrection, that Easter hope is stronger than all the forces of death and destruction that have been thrown at it for over 2,000 years. Friends, we are an Easter people. We have been given the inheritance of Christ's resurrection for all eternity. We are an Easter people. Yes, we weep. But we also dare to hope. Now, weeping and hoping, they are the gifts of grace. They are the works of grace. And you know about that, don't you? Once we've been saved by grace, we're saved forever. Hallelujah. Amen.